Let us pray. Father God, may the truth and the reality of that resurrection live in us always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a seat. Too good to be true. Watford 7, Arsenal 1. The APCM today will last for 10 minutes only. And during the summer, it is predicted that it will be in the mid-20s every day, and then there will be gentle rain every night between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Too good to be true. Too good to be true. Louise and I have been blessed with a free holiday in a cottage next week. When there was a tragic head-on car crash in our family, somebody bought us a new car. When we went away as a family and came home, somebody had cleaned our whole house. We were gifted half a flat. And one time when we were at Bible college and we had no money to pay the fees, by the end of the week, all the money was provided. Too good to be true? They all happened. I said to Louise yesterday morning, if I say to you the phrase, too good to be true, what do you think of? And she said, and I quote, you, Simon. I'm not quite sure the truth or the validity of that, because all I could think about in my head was Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons singing, you know, you're too good to be true, can't take my eyes off you. But anyway, that is actually what Louise said. But what's behind this thinking of too good to be true? Well, deep inside us, we think, that can't be. It's a lie. It's deception. Where's the catch? There's a setup. It can't be worth much, really, if it is too good to be true. Nothing of value in life comes easily or freely. Or does it? And here we have dear doubting Thomas. And I think he gets a bad press because he could be doubting Simon, doubting Louise, doubting us. Because he expresses our hidden thoughts. Is this really true? Did these events happen on Easter Sunday? It's a week on from the resurrection appearance. Thomas, for whatever reason, was not there when Jesus appeared to the disciples. And this scene is being played out. Can it be true that Jesus has defeated death? And if that is the case, then he is. And Thomas invites us and dares us to believe that it's not too good to be true, but God to be true. God is present. And the resurrection itself conquers all uncertainty and doubt. And these two passages that we've had read to us today just flow with that assurance and commitment to the reality that that first Easter, Jesus came back from the dead. And everything changes. So Peter and John remind us of the goodness of God. So if you look at the reading, start with the one in 1 Peter in your notice sheet. You'll see that there are just so many beautiful words of encouragement and faithfulness. There's new birth in verse 3. There's a reset. We begin again. There's a living hope. It's not fiction or fable. It's reality. There's an inheritance in verse 4 that you and I are invited into the family of God. And Louise and I have got the privilege later on today to take a baptism. And that's exactly what we will talk of. The welcome that God has for us in Christ. And that inheritance is indestructible. We might try and blow it up and break it, but God continually invites us into this new relationship with him. And I think great and gloriously in verse 6, there's an honesty. If the, there wasn't an honesty about the suffering and the trials that we go through in this life, it would seem to be, well, why isn't everything perfect if this is true? We're in a refiner's fire. We need to hold on, but to recognise it is not easy or straightforward. And then John continues pouring out words of reassurance that it is true. Peace is mentioned 3 times. Well, as we're aware that if you meet a resurrected person who you've seen die and buried, you tend to need reassurance. So Jesus knows immediately what we need. He sends us. He doesn't leave us inert and inactive. He sends us out like those early disciples to speak and to live for him. He gifts us with his very presence in verse 22, the Holy Spirit. And we are forgiven. And I need that. We all need that. That however far we feel from home, from God, we are always welcomed back. It's that picture of the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter welcomed home. Too good to be true? Because we think nothing of value can come unless it is expensive. And it is actually expensive. It led to Christ giving up his life for you and I. But it was freely given. The only price we pay in following Jesus is to say yes and to allow him to be Lord in our lives. And he can be trusted. Because a God who transcends death, who defeats sin, is somebody we can put our trust in. And the news gets even better for you and I. Now, I don't know, sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you think, well, where am I in this? Well, I don't know if you spotted today that we're in the Bible twice today. In fact, we're in the Bible an awful lot. But if you look at verse 29 of John, it says, Jesus said these things, have you believed because you see me? Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have come to believe. We've not seen the wounds of Jesus as Thomas did, but we believe. There we are, written into the Gospel of John. And it's echoed in Peter's passage in verse 8 and 9. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. So this encounter gave confidence to Thomas. We're not exactly sure what happened to him, but tradition says that he went off to be a missionary, a mission disciple. He went to India, and he was probably in the Indian subcontinent for about 20 years, and he was martyred near Madras in AD 72. He saw and believed, and everything changed. In this poem by Malcolm White, it reflects on what Thomas feels and says. We do not know. How can we know the way? Courageous master of the awkward question, you spoke the words that others dared not to say and cut through their evasion and abstraction. O doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things. We cannot love some disembodied wraith, but flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching is to touch, embrace, and anoint. Feel after him and find him in the flesh, because he loved your awkward counterpoint. The word has heard and granted you your wish. O place my hands with yours and help me divine the wounded God whose wounds are healing mine. So these passages and the story of Easter is inviting us again to trust him. We have not seen, but we can know, we can feel, we can have that relationship that is as real as seeing a resurrected body of Christ. And wherever you are today, this morning, belief, doubt, unbelief, God invites you and I back to trust, back to believe, and to rewrite those glorious lines that John ends here with, that these are written so that you, us, may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. That's what God invites you and I to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Thomas. We thank you that he's honest and voices our doubts, our fears. Can it be true? Help us to discover even more fully today the reality of who you are, your call on our life to trust you and to follow you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.